Welcome to the podcast series from the 8th Educational Seminar on Migration 2021 entitled Migration in a Multilateral World, organized by the European Migration Network in Slovakia. You are listening to the lecture on Migrants and Employers, Economics of Migration and the Role of Private Sector in Migration Cycle, presented by Stephanie Winnett, the Head of Stakeholder Engagement in the International Organization of Employers, or the IOE. It is the largest network of the private sector in the world, with more than 150 business and employer organization members. The IOE is also the host of the business mechanism to the Global Forum on Migration and Development, which aims at ensuring the voice of business is brought on board in government migration debates in international fora. Enjoy the lecture.
Good morning from Geneva. I'm Stephanie Winnett, the Head of Stakeholder Engagement at the International Organization of Employers. I'm delighted to be here with you today. I understand that over the past course of the days, you have heard a lot of different perspectives on migration, and I will try to bring you an additional one, the perspective of the private sector on migration. It will be a very economic perspective to what has become very politicized. So I will talk about what the business community does to contribute to the migration debate, about the view of the global employers. I will raise some questions like what are the interests of employers in migration? What are the employers' priorities? Why does the private sector care? And how can government work with their private sector community for the benefit of all, for the benefit of the societies, of their businesses, as well as of their local communities? So you may think, and I think rightly so, that the responses to those questions will all depend on where the company is based, whether it's a destination country or a country of origin, how big the company is, whether it's a small company, a large company. SMEs and MNEs have different priorities, have different means. It may also depend on their industry in which they operate. And yes, there are all different interests because the private sector is so diverse, but there is only one point which brings all employers together, which is the need for skills. Skills to run businesses, skills to grow the company, skills to diversify workforce. So today I will start by introducing the IOE, our work on migration, our contribution to the global debates on migration, how we strive to have impact. And I will then outline the three business priorities on migration. So first, let me start by telling you a bit who we are. The International Organization of Employers was created in 1920, a while back, to bring the voice of employers at the ILO, which is, as you very much know, the tripartite United Nations organizations dealing with labor and employment issues. We're the sole employers representative at the ILO, but over the years, our activities have very much diversified. We have members across the world, which are national employers organizations. And our member in Slovakia is the Federation of Employers Associations of the Slovak Republic. So we're representing really the interests of millions of companies across the world, and to strive to really be the voice of the private sector. What do we do? We look at having impact on policies at global level, but also at national level by supporting our members. So we promote business interests at the United Nations, at the firstly, obviously at the ILO, and then over the years. And what interests us today is migration. We promote business interests at the Global Forum on Migration and Development. We share our expertise, built on the knowledge of our members across the world. And very important, our vision is to create a sustainable economic environment around the world, promoting free enterprise that is fair and beneficial to both business and society. So yes, we support growth and productivity, but really with a social and fair approach. We partner with lots of members to do that. We're not doing this alone. Nothing can be done alone. So we're closely working with government, with intergovernmental organizations, obviously with the IOM. with other business-led organizations, with the Global Forum on Migration and Development, with SeedStars, I see here, which is a startup incubator, and I'll talk more about it. So we have different partners we can rely on to work on our issues. Now, very specifically on migration, let me tell you a bit more how we contribute to the global initiatives and what we do. We bring the voice of business at the Global Forum on Migration and Development. It's a government-led process. It was created 13 years ago. It is now chaired by a troika, which is composed of the government of Ecuador, the United Arab Emirates, and France. And in 2016, the governments had mandated the IOE to bring the voice of the private sector to the forum. And from there, we have created the Business Advisory Group on Migration, which is a network of companies, of business associations that promote migration policies that take into account labor market needs. It represents various industries, various regions, various sizes of companies. As I said, the private sector is very diverse and the needs are diverse and they need to be represented the right way. And that's what we strive to do in our business advisory group on migration. It's housed at the IOE. And we were also able to contribute to the Global Compact for Migration, which was adopted in 2018, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. We have provided contribution to the negotiation process. Just as a reminder, it was adopted in 2019 by the United Nations member states. After a long negotiations process of 2 years, member states agreed to 23 objectives and have started the implementation of this global framework. So the private sector contributed to mainly three of those objectives and brought the voice of the private sector to that United Nations debate. You may be familiar with the results of the vote of this process. From the 193 UN member states, 152 voted in favor, 5 voted against, and 12 did not vote or did not bring delegations to the adoption of the document. And Slovakia was among the few countries which did not send delegates to the adoption conference. But this being said, the GCM was broadly accepted by the international community. And I'm not here to comment the results. You see, it's, as I said, broadly green on the screen. But maybe just to share our employer's view on this process, which we welcomed. We thought that the spirit of the negotiations were good. We thought that politically it was a key step that governments were able to come together and discuss migration issues. I will tell you more about the business position, but you will see that the business positions are very positive when it comes to migration, to mobility. So we really welcome that the spirit of the negotiations. We did not agree with all the points. We did not agree with all the objectives or all the discussions. But we did provide recommendations that were taken on board, and we were pleased to see business language in this document. Now, our business advisory group on migration works on three priority issues. And firstly, and this is also a bit to react to the GCM, businesses make really clear distinction between the various categories of migrants. We talk about economic migrants, we talk about refugees, about displaced. All people have different reasons to move. And we believe there are various legal frameworks for the various categories. However, when recruiting employees, nationalities does not matter. It starts to matter if the process to hire a foreign national becomes too difficult, too cumbersome. When hiring that skill that my company needs becomes too difficult, then nationality does matter because it becomes a cumbersome. So what are we advocating for? As I said, the Business Advisory Group was created in 2016 to respond to the GFMD invitation to bring the private sector to the forum. And the three priorities that were outlined are access to skills, so pathways for employment, so frameworks that are flexible, transparent, predictable, to enable the movement of people where and when they are needed. The second point is a regulatory framework that ensures responsible recruitment. So once the skill is identified, businesses need those framework to recruit in a responsible manner. And the third point is the identification, the recognition, the development of skills to improve the employer's access to foreign skills. And overarching priority is how can we leverage technology to those purposes, to those three points. Mainly, our business advisory group seeks to have impact, at global level, at regional level, at local level. We want to see changes in the policies, which we want to see changes in the migration systems to help employers have access to the talent that they need, to the skills that they need. And I'm not talking when I'm saying talent, it's not highly skilled necessarily, but we're really talking about any kind of skills from the skill spectrum. So to do that, to have that impact, we conduct policy dialogue at national, regional, international level between employers and governments. We facilitate those dialogue. We bring employers and governments to the same table to help understand each other world. We try to bring this economic perspective to the politics. In order to do so, we also need to have our members capacity build. So we're building capacity of employers to conduct such a dialogue. Migration may not be on top of the priority of the National Employers Organization. And the global instruments that governments are now implementing may not resonate in the employers' community. So we're trying to help our members and the employers community understand what the challenges are from a government's perspective, and in order to, again, facilitate a dialogue. We have various publications of global and regional policy and position paper. We look at the impact of migration policies on businesses, on the impact of key political decisions on the ability for employers to attract and retain skills. And then we also have an IOE migration challenge, which is a technology startup competition. Startups are one of the very diverse private sector actors, and they work on innovative solutions that can contribute to better migration management. And we make them compete and present their ideas to a jury and to governments through the Global Forum on Migration and Development, and see all the innovations that are out there that can contribute to better management of migration. And we saw that, you know, even before the pandemic, 4 out of 10 jobs were created in the past decade were in the tech sector. While for those countries that experienced declines in employment, most of the job loss were in less digitally intensive sectors. So the businesses are rapidly embracing tech intensity as a key driver of competitive advantage and recovery. And IOE really recognizes and supports such effort. So ultimately, we're trying to have impact, but we're also trying to change the narrative on migration.
The Business Advisory Group on Migration is the private sector network inputting to the global migration debate, including at the Global Forum on Migration and Development, GFMD. We were established in 2016 and are housed at IOE, the International Organization of Employers in Geneva. The Business Advisory Group on Migration is based on four pillars: skills mobility, responsible recruitment, skills development and matching, technology and migration. We organize roundtable dialogues, establish partnerships with international organizations, and raise public awareness of employer perspectives on migration. We also publish papers that highlight the private sector's perspective. In 2019, we held workshops in Tunis and Buenos Aires, Doha and Geneva. The business community was consulted in each of these sessions on the challenges they are facing in relation to migration at the national and regional level.
The global business community has long advocated for policies that facilitate labor migration. The private sector has a unique role to play in changing the public narrative about labor migrants and the need for their services.
It's very important to lay out the basic framework that all employers, no matter where they are in the world, need in order to maximize their ability to access skills, to take advantage of talent and innovation from all over the world, and in short, to conduct their business.
Five recommendations emerged from these consultations: coherent and transparent migration policies that are administered predictably, regulatory framework that is conducive to responsible recruitment, regular consultations with national private sector representatives, elaboration of skills recognition systems of foreign qualifications, new strategies to foster migrants' entrepreneurship and leverage new technologies. We will present these recommendations to the GFMD and beyond. We will make every effort to bring the business perspective to shape policies, frameworks, and governance that maximize the benefits of migration while reducing its costs.
So this is, in a nutshell, what we do and how we are looking to have impact. And ultimately, we really want to change the narrative on migration, as I was saying, and we need to understand that for the economic impact and find a balanced approach to immigration. So let me now dive into our three priority issues, which I have outlined. And let us ask, what are we trying to solve? What are the facts? What problem are we trying to solve? Firstly, and most importantly, as I was saying, any company needs skills to fill in job vacancies. And if those skills can be found locally, this is absolutely great. And every company will look at skills first internally to make sure that they can also reduce unemployment rates and contribute to the societies. However, sometimes those skills are not to be found locally. And many countries, many employers report skill shortages, even in countries that you would not even think there is a skill shortage. And when skills are not available, the skills can be found either within the company through intra-company transfers or in a neighboring country or across the world, outside the EU, for example. And to be able to bring those skills in the company, in the economies, we need the legal pathways, the appropriate legal pathways, whether for a short term or a long term. And mobility of talent across border is a small but very important piece of maximizing global economic opportunity. As per an ADECO study, which is the largest recruitment and placement agency, a study that they conducted last year, they found that the pandemic, the coronavirus crisis, had little impact on the skill shortages in many professions, including in engineering, IT, technology, and medicine. Companies are intensively seeking specialists in this field, and sometimes it's really very difficult to recruit suitable staff, pandemic or not pandemic. For example, the regional mobility of skilled workers has fallen as a result of the uncertainties caused by travel restrictions, And however, even professions that do not normally experience a skills shortage are finding a significant lack of skilled workers in some areas. Another example in Latin America, this is very focused. I'm bringing really examples from across the world just for us to have that global perspective. The Manpower Group, which is also a recruitment agency, made a survey in Latin America, which results show that over 4 in 10 firms in Latin America say they have difficulty finding workers with the right skills. Companies in Argentina are worst hit, with 59% of those surveyed struggling to hire staff with the right skills. In Colombia, the figure is 50%. In Peru, is 49%. Employers around the world really are struggling to find the key talent. And if we look at numbers on the screen, you see that by 2030, we'll have a shortage of 2.3 million workers in Canada. And Canada is also an example of a population of 38 million. And since 2016, there are more people leaving the labor market than young people entering the labor market. And the government estimates that 1 in 4 jobs in the next 5 years will need to be filled by the migrant population. Otherwise, the GDP will decrease. And countries with aging populations were experiencing labor shortages even before the pandemic. So the numbers are striking. And the skills mismatch is growing everywhere in the world, pandemic or not. And pandemic is not helping to bring those skills in. So we need to really work on legal framework that would enable workers to fill in job vacancies locally. Our second priority issue is responsible recruitment. So we're looking at the legal frameworks conducive to responsible recruitment. We start from a very basic principle that no recruitment fees shall be charged to workers. That's a no-go. But we would all be surprised that in many jurisdictions, it's still legal to charge recruitment fees to workers. So all the guidelines, the codes of conduct, and the good initiatives are good to be there. I mean, there are lots of business-led or government-led initiatives at the global level, but ultimately, dialogue needs to happen at national level to be able to put in place the regulations for the recruitment industry that would enable recruiters and placement agencies to play by the rules. So we really encourage governments to talk to their recruitment industry. When regulated appropriately, private employment and recruitment services improve labor market functioning by matching job seekers to a decent job inside and across borders. And today, many countries we've seen around the world have inadequate regulatory framework for these services, or they simply do not enforce them. So this obviously allows for illegal, unethical or rogue players to deceive and trap job seekers and workers into indecent jobs, debt bondage, etc., and dangerous working conditions, which we all want to avoid. So we're really looking at effective national regulation to balance the interest of the job seekers and businesses on private labor market allocation. And obviously, this framework should be conducive to an ethical recruitment business case that serves as an alternative to rogue providers for both domestic and cross-border job seekers. And obviously, this business case depends on the cost of deliberately breaking or not the law. So we are really encouraging at national level tripartite dialogue to put the right regulations in place targeted at the recruitment industry, making sure that job seekers in that more vulnerable situation do not have to pay for a job placement. And it would be a crucial element in promoting fair and ethical recruitment. Our third priority issue is, as I was saying, skills recognition, skills development, and and skills assessment. When we talk about skills recognition, we really talk about the recognition of skills from one country to another. So people move from country A to country B, and the skills they have are not recognized. Tomorrow, we will need soft skills, which are going to be much more important than any diploma that anyone can have achieved. So we need to have a program or a framework to be able to recognize those skills between countries. Skills transfer programs are also in high demand. And here the role of employers in identifying the skills, the needed skills, and communicate these skills to government is key. If an employer can communicate with facts, the skill shortages that they have in a specific industry, in a specific country, to the government, it would definitely help support government take the right and the smart decisions. And not only companies, but also countries will be competing for global skills. And the tech rise due to the COVID that we have seen has made this need even more pressing. When it comes to skills categories, and this is also where the employers can be of huge, of tremendous help to government. When it comes to categorizing the skills that are needed, it's really important for employers, in order to be compliant, to file a work permit for the right category. However, many times the category is not available for employers. So we are going back to the legal pathway. If an employer needs a cook, I'm just giving an example, an employer needs a cook to run the restaurant. However, work permits are available only for the category of waiters. So at some point, what would an employer do to be able to fill in that position? Either wait, and waiting for a restaurant is not an option, or file a work permit for a waiter, even if that a cook position needs to be filled. And then we're going into issues that should not be even raised because they are so minimal, they should not even be able. And that's why we really look at having categories of skills that are adapted, again, to the needs of the labor market. And finally, let me move to our last slide. We've been working on a campaign, which is the It Takes a Community campaign, to promote this business voice. We don't hear businesses talk about migration. Again, it may not be a priority. There may be some misunderstanding between what we're talking about. But we have been able to bring together 20 business leaders who talked about the positive contribution of well-regulated migration. Well-managed migration has ripple effect on the economies. And our efforts should contribute to promote a positive message on well-managed migration. And we're not advocating for open borders for all just for the sake of opening borders. We're not in the humanitarian space. We're looking really at the economic advantage of bringing skills in to contribute to the economies. So I just want to finish my presentation today by showing you this brief video that we have produced that highlights those 20 business leaders, which will explain better than I've done, certainly in the past 30 minutes, why businesses need well-regulated migration. Please, you can show the video. Thank you.
For me, the best way to counter this toxic or negative speech and perception around migration is by building our own narrative.
Protecting or reinforcing that positive narrative. I think it's about telling the stories. It's about getting the word out there.
So good policy drives good narratives. is really the bottom line.
Throughout the time, we have always seen that when talent from outside comes in, they bring in a lot of new ideas, which are very important to most of the industries which we work on.
As I said, we vote a lot in Switzerland, and every time we have an issue that goes to the people on migration, we defend the fact that Switzerland is a wealthy country because it is an open country to the world.
Immigration is a central component of growing our economy. In fact, it's about 80% of GDP growth today is happening because of immigration. And it's not too far away before 100% of our GDP growth is going to be happening.
Looking at trends of automation, of demographics and aging society, we need more liberal and open immigration, labor immigration policies.
I think having a clear, robust migration policy is key. Is key for society, is key for the people who are migrating.
In terms of the government support to facilitate migration and make it legal, we would like a stronger regional and international collaboration framework. There is need to put in place this framework for exchange of skills between countries so that we can have regular migration and migrant workers can then have portability of benefits, they have social protection, and their welfare is taken care of both within Kenya and in the countries where Kenyans go to. Within Kenya, we'd like the legal and regulatory framework addressed and the processes of migrants coming in to be simplified.
We want clear rules that enable people to understand what they would need to do to come into New Zealand, clear rules for employers so they know what they need to do if they are in the market, if they're in the global market trying to attract global talent. So it's not much really, it's just a lot of clarity from governments and make sure that they move away from a lot of the political messaging, which has been quite negative.
Reality is that there's a war for talent. We're competing with many other nations and we must ensure that Canada's immigration systems, all immigration systems, frankly, are designed to attract the brightest and the best, and we can't rest on our laurels. There's a lot to be done.
It requires a delicate balance and a keen expertise. It is also a very sensitive topic for the public opinion. But believe me, IOE can assist ensuring that this balance is there, and we can help transforming the negative narrative into positive gains.
So I would like to thank you all very much. I guess this last video did make the case of the business case for a legal framework that are conducive to migration for the purpose of employment. You can see my contact details on the screen. Feel free to reach out and I'm available for any question you may have today or in the future. Thank you again.
This lecture was part of the EMN Educational Seminar on Migration entitled Migration in the Multilateral World. The seminar is organized by the International Organization for Migration Slovakia as the coordinator of the Slovak EMN National Contact Point. This activity is funded by the European Union and co-funded by the Ministry of Interior of the Slovak Republic. Thank you for listening.